Hi, I'm Connor Cyrus, one of the hosts for Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Many Vermonters have relied on Three Squares Vermont, a food assistance program run by the state and funded with federal dollars. More than 70,000 people in our state received Three Squares Vermont. And since the onset of the pandemic in 2020, they have received a temporary boost in benefits through extra funding. These extra benefits allowed all recipients to receive the maximum amount of funds for their household. It also helped keep federal funds within Vermont and boost local businesses. At the end of December, Congress passed a spending bill for 2023, which ended these additional benefits. The cut funding will be used to pilot a summer EBT program for low-income children. However, low-income seniors will be particularly affected by these cuts. Later in the show, we will have someone on to talk about how seniors will be impacted by these cuts. But first, let's get caught up on what these benefits are and how Vermonters are using them. To help me do that, I want to welcome our guests. We have Ivy Enoch, the Food Security Advocacy Manager for Hunger Free Vermont. Ivy, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
We also have Emily Cohen, the Director of Community Resources for the Vermont Food Bank. Emily, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Now, Ivy, I want to start with you and just, will you start by explaining and telling us about Hunger Free Vermont, what y'all do and who you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. So Hunger Free Vermont is a statewide advocacy and education organization. We work at the local, state, regional, and federal level to improve access and awareness to vital federal nutrition programs. And we also advocate to strengthen and improve those programs.
And Ivy, will you tell us how life for you changed during the pandemic and how it is for you now in terms of your work?
Yeah, I joined Hunger Free Vermont in the early days of the pandemic. So this personally has been my reality at Hunger Free Vermont, but I know that both for my colleagues and our partners across the state, this has been a really challenging time to try to rise to meet the increased need and ensure that everyone in Vermont has dignified access to the food they need.
And when you talk about the need, can you tell us what that looks like in terms of what you're seeing?
Absolutely. And you shared this data earlier, but we know that hunger in Vermont and food security are at their highest rates right now, and that they have never been higher in the history of us tracking this data. And according to University of Vermont researchers, 2 in 5 people in Vermont are experiencing food insecurity right now, which is a 10% increase compared to just last year.
Those are big numbers, and we will dive into those in just a little bit. But I want to bring Emily back into the conversation. Emily, will you tell us about the food bank? How many people are you serving and what y'all do?
Sure. Thanks so much. We are Vermont's statewide food bank. So we support a network of 320 community organizations, and those are the folks getting food to people every day through food shelves, community meal providers. We also do some direct distributions ourselves at the Vermont Food Bank, and we also support people in learning about Three Squares Vermont.
Speaking of Three Squares Vermont, will you tell us about what that is and how it compares to SNAP benefits?
Sure. So Three Squares Vermont is just what our state calls SNAP. So they're the same program, just a different name. And SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's a federal program available in every state, and it's our country's first line of defense against hunger. So it's really a program that helps people boost their food budgets. They can buy the food when they want and what they want, and it really provides choice. So it's really one of the most effective food programs we have out there.
And Ivy, with Hunger Free Vermont, as we're learning and what the show is about the federal SNAP benefits ending and the Three Squares program being reduced in March, which means that the extra federal money that people have been receiving since the start of the pandemic will soon end. What was the goal or is the goal of this money?
So SNAP emergency allotments, which just to put simply, were that boost in benefits that folks have been receiving since March of 2020 really were put in place to support folks through this really challenging time.
And Emily, as somebody who works with families, how has the additional benefits helped get people through the pandemic?
They have been tremendously helpful. We've heard countless examples through our helpline and people emailing us about the different ways they've used these benefits, how it's allowed them to purchase the kinds of foods they want for their particular diet and needs. And right now we are hearing a lot of concern about the trade-offs they might have to make when these extra benefits go away.
Now, Ivy, as I mentioned, at the end of last year, Congress passed the Omnibus Bill. And as you understand it, how does that change how people will receive SNAP benefits?
Yeah, so what Congress decided to do in the Omnibus Bill was to cut SNAP benefits. As I said, since the onset of the pandemic, everyone enrolled in Three Squares Vermont got a boost to their benefit every month. But Congress decided in this latest Omnibus Bill, we're all done with that boost, which was a premature ending to this increase. And now, starting in April, 70,000 people aren't going to get the extra benefit anymore, which means their budget for food will be greatly reduced. And that's happening at a time where food and fuel prices, as we all know, are continuing to increase. So folks are losing crucial benefits and having to pay more for milk, eggs, and bread at the store.
And Emily, as it stands, we know, as we just heard Ivy say, that the need is still really high for this, but the benefits are ending. How does this change families' lives? Like, what are you going to see directly, and how will that impact the Vermont Food Bank?
That is such a good question. And I just want to clarify that the benefits are not ending. It's the boosted benefits that are ending. So we want people to understand that and make sure they're not worrying that they're going away entirely. But
thank you for that clarification.
You know, no problem. But we are hearing different anecdotes from people around the state. So people are saying they might have to start skipping meals again or making those trade-off choices between household bills and the foods they want. And we're definitely hearing a lot of people comment on the price of a dozen eggs currently costs $8 at their local grocery stores. And that's just really tough. You know, we don't want people to have to make those hard choices.
You said that people are going to go back to skipping meals. How does the Vermont Food Bank help close that gap? And what more can be done to ensure that more people are being fed?
We do want people to know there are many, many different resources in addition to Three Squares Vermont. And if you're interested, you can call 211 to find out what's going on locally in your community or visit our website, vtfoodbank.org. We at the Vermont Food Bank are doing a lot to try to prepare and respond to this increased need. And while, you know, we're a large statewide organization, and there's really nothing we can do to reach the level of $6 million a month of extra benefits going out to 70,000 people in Vermont. You know, that's more than 10% of us living in this state. We are doing things like purchasing millions of dollars of foods from local Vermont farmers and distributing those around the state, providing grants to help fund local solutions, and really just listening to our network of 320 community partners. They are the amazing people who are doing this food distribution day to day. You know, if you're listening, thank you. We just want people to know that we're all facing the same challenges in this time.
I mean, some of these numbers are staggering. You know, 2 in 5 Vermonters are experiencing food insecurity. And how can they help? So what can people do? Should people be donating food or canned goods? And what can you tell people that are hearing this and are just astounded by the reality of what's happening to our neighbors?
I think this is an especially great year to get involved with the Farm Bill coming up. You know, if you want to know different ways you can participate, you can always go to the Vermont Food Bank website. And you can volunteer at your local food shelf. You can take action. You can share your story. If you're somebody that has participated in a program or accessed food through one of these ways. And it's important to know that there are many different resources out there. So I want people to know they can access those and also they can support those if they like.
And then Ivy, I want to go to you. And what is the expected outcome for Vermonters of all ages as a result of these cuts? And can you tell us about how Hunger-Free Vermont is bracing for March?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we and our partners expect to see hunger rise in response to these cuts to the additional boost in benefits. And also recognizing, as Emily said, food bank partners are trying to fill an impossible gap to fill. So we also know that will greatly impact our partners. In terms of, you know, what we are doing to address and respond, as Emily said, the Farm Bill is coming up, which is really our next chance to make sure that people are taken care of in terms of getting what they need to be fed and nourished. Congress is starting those conversations right now, which gives advocates and policymakers, all of us in Vermont, an open window to rally behind permanent improvements to programs that support our food budgets. And I also just want to say that we're really proud of Vermont for committing to universal school meals in our state, which is a choice that our legislators and public officials made here in Vermont to make sure that every kid gets two meals a day at school. We're really proud of that, and it proves that these decisions can be made.
Listeners, for the rest of the show, we are talking about how the additional federal SNAP programs will be reduced come March. And we'd love for you to join the conversation and tell us how these extra benefits have helped you. And if you're not on these benefits, are you going to the grocery store and shopping differently because of inflation and because prices of groceries are just so high? Give us a call and share your experiences, 1-800-639-2211, or email us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. I want to bring another guest into the conversation. That's Liz Scharf. She's the Director of Community Economic Development and Food Security at Capstone Community Action in Central Vermont. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hi, Connor. Thanks for having me, and hello to my colleagues at the Vermont Food Bank and Hunger-Free Vermont.
So, Liz, will you just start by telling us how or what Capstone Community Action's role is in addressing hunger in the state?
Sure. So at Capstone, we have a food shelf that's Central Vermont's largest food shelf. And each year we serve over 1,000 families who rely on us to provide them the nutritious foods, which include shelf-stable items, prepared meals from our Community Kitchen Training Academy and the Everyone Eats Restaurant Meal Program, proteins like the meats and the dairies and the eggs, and fresh fruits and vegetables. A lot of this that comes from the Vermont Food Bank, as well as partners such as the Central Vermont Community Harvest Gleaning Food Program from farms.
And how will the additional benefits ending affect how you're able to provide your services to the community?
Well, we know that there's a direct correlation between people having money to pay for food and using our food shelf. And I can just back up briefly to 2021 when we had those supports, including the Three Squares benefit boost, the expanded child tax credit, the stimulus monies. And we actually saw a 40% decrease in the use of our food shelf. When we fast forward to the last 3 months of 2022, compared to the last three months of 2021, we have seen almost a 55% increase in the number of visits to our food shelf, and more starkly, a 65% increase in the number of children that we serve, which means that more families with children are visiting our food shelves.
And will you tell us about what this means specifically for single parents and families with kids?
Sure. So, I mean, basically, when you're losing money that you've been using to pay for food, you're going to have to replace it somehow, right? And we know because of inflation and the cost of other goods that there's a ripple effect. The less money you have, the more needs you're going to have. And so people are going to have to, you know, figure out, you know, how can I, one, afford to use the money that I have the most wisely at the grocery store, and then I'm going to have to make it up through the school food service program, as well as through visiting our food shelves. And basically what is happening when these, when three square benefit is being decreased, it's a shift in the burden, and that the burden is placed now on the charitable food system to feed Vermonters who need it the most. And the charitable food system isn't just food shelves like ours. These are tiny food shelves which have very low budgets, who are going to be struggling even more than they are right now to feed the people who are coming to visit them.
Now, speaking of having a small budget, do you expect extra support from the state or federal lawmakers for Capstone?
Well, we receive a lot of funding from the federal government and the state, but more and more we rely on philanthropic dollars. We do have a few grants that come through the state specifically for food. Those don't seem to be any more than what we've gotten in the past. But what we have ended up relying on are things like our Fuel Your Neighbors campaign, which is raising money for the fuel assistance program that we have, as well as our food program. So, you know, we have a goal every year of raising $300,000 for that, because if we don't have that, we literally won't be able to keep our food shelves open.
That is Liz Scharf, the Director of Community Economic Development and Food Security at Capstone Community Action in Central Vermont. Liz, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks.
I want to go to the phones and talk to Tina in Clarendon. Tina, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. As everyone on the show has said, the current anticipated cut in SNAP benefits is coming at a particularly challenging time. But in addition to that, as everyone also knows, those on Social Security received a relatively significant COLA increase. However, since the Social Security income have increased, SNAP benefits are then decreased. So the Social Security COLA that everyone is lauding is lessened significantly because the SNAP benefits are reduced.
How can we change that? Tina, thank you so much for your question. And listeners, COLA stands for the cost of living adjustment. Ivy, what can we, is that something you can address right now with for us?
Yeah, and I want to thank Tina for highlighting that, because it's a double whammy around this time of year when cost of living adjustments increase. And for folks who rely on Three Squares Vermont benefits, those benefits decrease as a result, which is really unfortunate. And I think this is a great example of why advocacy and supporting our Vermont delegation in Farm Bill reauthorization is paramount, making sure that SNAP benefits are truly adequate and responsive to our current economic situation will go a long way in easing the burden.
So, Ivy, if this was up to you and you could wave a magic wand, what I'm hearing, what I'm gathering from this conversation is that the additional SNAP benefits are meeting people where they are and is almost should be the norm and not, you know, they shouldn't be considered additional, but that's like where people are. Is that accurate or how do you talk about that?
I think that's a great way to put it. You know, I think if I could wave a magic wand, I would want every single person to have dignified access to the food they want and need with ease. And I think in terms of expanding SNAP and improving SNAP to support you know, over 70,000 people in Vermont who rely on it, increasing the monthly benefit amounts permanently is a top priority.
And Emily, is that what you're hearing from people that you speak to, that the additional benefits that are going away is actually where people should be starting out?
I agree that expanding Three Squares Vermont or SNAP at a federal level will really be impactful. I'll also highlight there are many people now who don't qualify for Three Squares Vermont, but still need help with food. And so expanding that program or the eligibility could really help some of those folks fill in, you know, what's missing in their food budget.
And Emily, does the Vermont Food Bank work alone in trying to feed Vermonters, or do you work with other organizations?
We definitely work with other organizations, as Liz mentioned. Hello, and to anyone out there listening. Really, this is a much bigger issue than any one organization can solve. The Vermont Food Bank is really a network, you can think of organizations around the state. And our job at the Vermont Food Bank is to support all of those organizations who are working at the local level and do the best we can to support the solutions they're coming up with, as well as community members who reach out to us directly that we may assist with Three Squares Vermont or other direct food distributions we offer.
And then I also am just curious, what's your role? And I guess we'll start with Emily on this one. In terms of working with local farmers and local resourced food to get food distribution to Vermonters in need.
We love that program model of supporting Vermont farmers and really keeping resources within our state. So at the Vermont Food Bank, we have a program called Vermonters Feeding Vermonters, and we're contracting with farmers around the state to purchase food from them that is distributed for free throughout community, you know, partners and through our distributions. And so it's something that we strongly believe in, and it's something that SNAP does as well, right? It brings in more economic opportunity and activity into our state.
Now, Tricia in Middlebury wrote to us and says, "We can't have any discussion about food insecurity without also talking about food waste. No matter the amount of money sent via Three Squares Vermont, we'll fix the hunger problem if folks don't know how to shop efficiently and avoid wasting food. How far will food stamps go if they're spent on $10 frozen pizzas for one meal versus raw ingredients, which can provide many meals?" Emily, is there a lot of education happening in how to shop and how to cook fresh fruits and vegetables for these meals?
There certainly are all kinds of nutrition education organizations around the state. Within the Vermont Food Bank, we have a team. They're the VT Fresh team. And so they are definitely working on nutrition education and, you know, sharing recipes and different ways to prepare without waste. I'll just mention too that people have so many different factors they are navigating in their lives. Sometimes people have very little time to prepare food or little equipment. There are people in all kinds of situations around the state, people who are unhoused, you know, limited kitchens. So there's a lot of reasons why we just want people to have the foods that they want and they need, and we trust that people are making the right decisions for themselves. But yes, I was just reading myself an article a few nights ago about, economical ways to buy groceries and different ways to prepare meals. So I think that's information that we all can benefit from.
And then Ivy, is that something that you are seeing with Hunger Free Vermont in terms of educating people on local ingredients and how to get the best bang for their buck, I guess?
We are very focused on federal nutrition programs that support people in buying the food that they want and need with dignity. That is what we are focused on. And I appreciate your question about, supporting our local farmers. And we work closely with NOFA Vermont and other partners in increasing access and awareness to SNAP incentive programs, which help folks enrolled in Three Squares of Vermont afford more locally produced, fresh, nourishing food, programs like Crop Cash, for example.
But I now want to address how low-income seniors will be affected by the shift. To help us sift through some of the implications of these cuts, we have Meg Burmeister. She's the Executive Director of the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging. Meg, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
Now, Meg, will you just give us a little insight into how inflation is particularly affecting older Vermont residents?
Sure. We're seeing increased calls to our helpline for people really struggling. You know, we have an understanding that most seniors live on a fixed income, and that means that there's little variability for them to be able to handle the changes with inflation, with fuel costs, and with their needs, often having to make some really difficult choices about what they can afford and can't afford based on that. So, of course, the cut to the SNAP benefit would significantly impact them.
And these are Vermonters who rely on a fixed income. So any adjustment is a big adjustment, correct?
Correct.
And so these cuts will have a profound impact on older Vermonters. What choices will older Vermonters have to make in order to make ends meet?
So what we are already seeing is people talking about making choices around medications, around their ability to purchase fuel to heat their homes. And, you know, the flow of that continues down to making choices about food and being able to choose healthier foods versus lower nutritional value foods. And that has implications for people's health and well-being as a consequence.
I presume it also has a significant psychological impact on just how people feel about themselves. Is that some? I mean, that must be something you're thinking about, but can you tell us, like, how people tell you about how they feel about that?
People are generally very disillusioned and saddened. They're humiliated by having to make choices and oftentimes very embarrassed about coming forward to say, I need assistance. So for many, it becomes more of a crisis critical situation. So for instance, somebody who is running out of fuel, but embarrassed to tell someone that they can't afford to put fuel in their fuel tank, becomes a really complicated situation. And we see that repeat itself. We see that oftentimes where people stop taking medications that are necessary for their physical well-being, and it does take an emotional toll on people.
How does delivering meals make a difference, particularly in the Northeast Kingdom that is extremely rural?
So we've continued throughout COVID to see a pretty high number of people who are requesting meals, and that is one way that we know that we're getting nutritional, well-balanced meals in, you know, to them in their homes. But that need has continued to stay strong. It has not reduced with any significance like we would have been hopeful for. So we're still using funds that we received for COVID to help provide those meals to people in the community. And more we see people where the financial reason is the reason that they're needing assistance with home-delivered meals.
Does higher gas prices make it harder to keep up with deliveries?
Of course it does. It has put a strain on our caregivers who are home delivered meals drivers. They're out there. And as you mentioned just previously, in rural Vermont, some of those routes are extremely long and many miles. And when you add the cost of fuel into the mix, it really has created a situation where a number of our volunteers have had to stop driving because they can no longer afford to do so.
Now, Meg, before I let you go, how can people who are listening get involved and help out?
So in the state of Vermont, there are 5 area agencies on aging, and each is able to help people. So we need volunteers. The Older Americans Act relies on volunteers to create the programming and services in the community, make a donation. We're gladly accepting them. Our fuel fund this year, we have raised a good amount of money, but we're using it because fuel deliveries are more than double what they were a year ago. So those are things that are very complicated for people to decide. But we certainly can use anybody's support that would wish to, like I said, make a contribution or volunteer, become a Meals on Wheels driver, or help a community member who lives near you. Many of us have elders in our community that we know could use a little support.
That's Meg Burmeister. She's the executive director of the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging. Meg, thanks so much for joining the show, and really good luck this winter.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you taking the time to talk about this important topic.
We still have Ivy Enoch with Hunger Free Vermont and Emily Cohen with the Vermont Food Bank. Emily, something that we've kind of alluded to but haven't really talked about is the emotional impact that this has on people who need these services. Can you, like, I presume it's very similar to what we just heard from Meg, but can you tell us what you see when it comes to maybe the embarrassment or the shame?
We do talk with people who were honored that they share their story with us and sort of explain why they want to apply for Three Squares Vermont. And so just fueled by those stories, it is a tough decision that people make. And I just want those people to know, you know, we're all feeling these challenges together. And we're so grateful when you reach out and talk to our team. And there just is a robust network of people around the state who are working really hard and really care and want to help get the foods that people want and need to you.
And Ivy, the summer EBT program has been praised by several national anti-hunger organizations, such as No Kid Hungry and Feeding America. Why do you think they take that stance?
Great question. Honestly, everyone is celebrating that there is a permanent summer EBT program, and Hunger Free Vermont has long called for such a program. Of course, we want families with children to have what they need to buy food for their kiddos all year round. That is absolutely critical. The problem here is that in order to fund it, Congress chose to stop giving all SNAP participants, and in Vermont, as we've shared, that's over 70,000 people, increased benefits at a time when they really need it.
And Ivy, can you explain why the same government body that passes the summer EBT program is the same one that cut the child tax credit?
I can't speculate on that. I'm not privy to the conversations that happened behind closed doors in Congress. But what's important to highlight here is that programs were pitted against programs by Congress. Congress decided to choose between supporting children eating in the summer months by creating a summer EBT program or supporting households throughout the year by maintaining increased SNAP funding. And again, Hunger Free Vermont sees this as an impossible choice that we don't support. There's no competition when it comes to making sure people are well fed. And these two programs shouldn't be competing for funding because we need to make sure everyone gets the food they need.
And Emily, in the last several minutes we have, how much does the cancellation of the child tax credit affect your work at the Vermont Food Bank?
That's a great question. I think it gets at what we've heard throughout this program, in that people have a kaleidoscope of needs that they are, you know, navigating in their lives. And whether it's money for their food budget or housing or fuel, there just are a lot of costs that people have. So when we see one support fall away, it can really impact many domains of people's lives. And that's why, you know, that's why this change in a federal program is having such a big impact. It's impacting so many people, 70,000 people in Vermont.
And Emily, if people can take one thing away from the Vermont Food Bank, what would that be?
I just would encourage people to, if they're interested, reach out. There are other resources that might be available to you. You can call 211 or look at our website, vermontfoodbank.org. And also for people who are enrolled in Three Squares Vermont already, you will be getting a mailing in the next couple of weeks that explains more about these changes. And we'll be putting the word out there with more information about how you can check if you are receiving the maximum you are eligible for. So, you know, please reach out to us if you have questions. And if you are very new to Three Squares Vermont, if you want to just check if you're eligible, you can always text VFB SNAP to 85511. And it's just a quick way and just a quick couple questions.
And listen, I just want to note, just in case you've been listening, it is the additional federal SNAP benefits that will be ending come March. I want to thank my guest today. We had Ivy Enoch with Hunger Free Vermont. Ivy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
We also had Emily Cohen with the Vermont Food Bank. Emily, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you for covering this important topic.